there are some things that we should say no to. And I have a few examples this morning that are some things that we should say no to, and hopefully you can benefit from them as much as I have. Things we should say no to. Number one, misplaced priorities. If you look in the book of Haggai, in chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." After the return from captivity, the people of Judah have been delayed in getting the temple of the Lord rebuilt. They faced adversity from other nations. They've also faced difficult politics within their own nations. And so now Haggai is sent by God to tell the people of Judah, well, you made sure the priority was to build your own house, but the temple of God lies in ruins. Haggai challenged the people in Jerusalem and in Judah here to examine their lives and to set new priorities that would please God. And they needed to remember God was with them and in control. They had faced these difficulties and had not gotten the temple built. So Haggai is sent here to admonish them. Another example in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This is the parable of the rich fool. Another example here of misplaced priorities. Luke 12, beginning in verse 16. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many, many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" The rich man was obviously infatuated with all that he had, with hoarding of his goods. And you can see how many times here in the text where he says, "I and my," not recognizing that God had given him all of these things. God viewed this strategy for achieving all this leisure that this rich man was attempting to do and all the pleasure he had got from it as foolish. So how does misplaced priorities here in these two examples apply to us today? Well, first let's look at verse 21. "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Our priority should not be the things that we have. And in specific, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us what our priority should be. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what will you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We should value most the reign of God over our lives and to pursue righteousness and to trust God and not misplace our priorities, because we understand he will give us all that we need. If we seek the kingdom of God first, Our priorities will not be misplaced, and if we say no to misplaced priorities, then God will grant us all of the things that we need. So, number one, misplaced priorities. Number two, we need to say no to worldly temptations. If you'll turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Our ongoing struggle with worldly temptations gets the best of us sometimes, doesn't it? When the desires of the flesh gain the upper hand, the works of the flesh that Paul later goes on to talk about in verses 19 through 20, they become very evident in our lives. Paul's point is that this behavior is not vindicative of those who have been baptized and named Jesus as their Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, Paul says of this behavior, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." When we have been sanctified and we have been baptized and forgiven of our sins, this behavior is not very becoming of a Christian, and so we should say no to worldly temptations. The book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to choose to say no to the world and to resist the devil, to not give in to lust, our pride, and our other temptations. That's easier said than done, isn't it? How can we choose to do this and never fall short? Well, that's not possible, but how can we choose to say no to worldly temptations and have the strength to do so? If you'll turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Paul says specifically how we can do this. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If we have prioritized God, if we seek Him first and have our priorities in place, if we try to resist the devil and our worldly temptations, then He will be with us and He will provide a way of escape for us. So, we need to say no to misplaced priorities. We need to say no to worldly temptations. And then finally this morning, we need to say no to eternal punishment. Book of Colossians, if you'll turn there. Colossians chapter 1. We should say no to eternal punishment because look at what God has done for us. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have been set free from Satan's realm of oppression and been transferred into the kingdom of Christ. We can be in heaven in eternity if you look back up in verse 10 of Colossians 1, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We have to walk worthy of the Lord and say no to eternal punishment. If you have not been walking worthy in your life, or if you have not become a Christian, you are not walking worthy. Being baptized into Christ is important for you to say no to eternal punishment. Say yes to Christ and to obey the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1 says this as well. Many blessings are afforded to Christians, and Paul goes through them here in great detail in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. What great spiritual blessings are assured to us if we are Christians? What great motivation to say no to eternal punishment? We have been bought, as has been said in this passage and in Colossians, by Jesus' blood, and our inheritance is in Christ, in heaven. Same point here. If you have not been baptized and not had your sins forgiven by that blood, you are saying no to eternal life. You are saying no to that inheritance. You are saying yes to eternal punishment. We should do the opposite. We should say no to the eternal punishment and the consequences of sin, and we should say yes to obeying the gospel. And then finally, the final passage this morning in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All of us are guilty of sin. All of us have fallen short of what we are supposed to do. We all once conducted ourselves, as we read here in verse 3, Paul says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. So this isn't a foreign concept to us. The key is we must not keep conducting ourselves in that manner. We must strive to put on the new man, to put away the old man, and to say no to eternal punishment. Because God has loved us and made us alive through Christ. He's provided us a way of escape. He's told us that we should seek Him first, and He will grant us everything that we need. And so this morning, if you have not become a Christian, and if you have let other priorities take place in your life, then you are headed for the fate of eternal punishment. There is no mincing words. If you have become a Christian and you have not been walking worthy of the calling, and as Jesus has outlined for us in the Bible, then you are saying no to heaven, and you are saying yes to eternal punishment. Let's say no to misplaced priorities. Let's say no to the temptations that we face every day, because we know God gives us a way of escape. And in doing so, we will say no to eternal punishment. If you are subject to the invitation this morning, please come as we stand and sing.